Brought to you thanks to Suaco and AGD Systems. This is Highways Voices from Intertraffic Amsterdam 2024.
If you were in Amsterdam last week for the huge Intertraffic 2024 show, firstly, have you recovered yet? What a week it was, with 30-odd thousand people there, nearly 1,000 exhibitors, and about 100,000 steps. Despite bringing you daily podcasts last week, thanks to our sponsors Suaco and AGD Systems, we couldn't fit everything in that we gathered, so let's talk safer driving, AI, traffic monitoring, and state of the industry on this bonus Intertraffic Highways Voices.
Sponsored by Suaco and AGD Systems, Highways Voices from Intertraffic Amsterdam 2024.
We've enjoyed bringing the latest from the Australian company AccuSensus to you on Highways News, as it works to make roads safer in the UK as it begins operations here. Because it's not just speed that can be enforced by technology on our roads now, thanks to the Intertraffic Amsterdam 2022 award winner, which has developed technology to spot people using their handheld phones whilst driving. The AccuSensus technology also spots people who aren't wearing a seatbelt, and the technology has been proven to change driver behaviour. I caught up with founder and managing director Alexander Yannink to find out more.
The heads-up product from AccuSensus is a mobile phone enforcement and seatbelt enforcement and speed and average speed enforcement solution. It's been deployed across a number of continents in the world. AccuSensus developed the world's first mobile phone enforcement camera program that was in New South Wales, Australia, and that started at the end of 2019. And so we were really the pioneers in this space. We then also supplied the world's first seatbelt enforcement camera program, also in Australia, that was in Queensland, Australia. And then since then, we've been rounding out the solution so that from one camera deployment, one heads-up asset can enforce the distracted driving, seatbelt and speed, and also average speed. And we're working on a number of other capabilities and functionalities as well. Because ultimately our goal is to try and address as many of the fated five driver behaviors as we possibly can. So the heads-up solution will address three out of the fatal five, and then we're working on the remaining two, which is fatigue and drugs and alcohol, and whether we can enhance the solution to detect those. So maybe next time we come to Intertraffic, we can talk all about addressing all five.
What inspired you to set up the company?
Well, there are a couple of reasons that the company was founded. There's a personal reason for me. So my friend James was run over and killed in 2013 by somebody who was using phone and was intoxicated. And so that sort of really set me on the path of wanting to do something about this in particular. And by 2015, 2016, you could start seeing in the road fatality trends an uptick in developed world nations. And that's after decades of declines. And so from there you think, well, why are road fatalities increasing? They should be decreasing. Cars are better, infrastructure is better, but driver behavior is not better. Driver behavior has been worsening. And so then from that, started the company, found people who are brave enough to invest in it and fund the development. There's been quite a lot of development and research and development effort that's gone into it.
And what's been the effect on driver behavior where the technology has been installed in a widespread way?
Yeah, there's been some really fantastic changes in driver behavior, actually. So if we look at the first two programs in the world, so New South Wales, Australia, enforcing mobile phone use, the rate of people using their mobile phones has declined by an order of magnitude. So we're now at about a 10 times reduction in number of people caught using a phone across the road network. And then that coincided in the first 2 years with a 20% reduction in road fatalities as well, at a time when the rest of Australia, which should be comparable, went up. The rest of Australia went up by 8%. In Queensland, we've been operating mobile phone seatbelt enforcement for the last 2 years, 9 months, and then speed enforcement for the last almost 1 year. And in Queensland, since our programs have started, road fatalities there have dropped by about 10%, while the rest of Australia, unfortunately, has gone up by 11%, so about a 21% difference. What's different in Queensland and New South Wales is obviously active enforcement against particularly mobile phones, which is really a significant contributor to drop.
And Your colleague Jeff Collins, who heads up your, organisation in the UK, he'll always talk about the fact that automated enforcement is not part of a war on drivers, as some newspapers used to have it. It's a war on bad driving that everyone should get behind and fight alongside. Do you find that the driving public actually welcome and support the use of this sort of technology?
Yeah, well, the reality is that enforcement is actually one of the most effective educational tools that we have. It is one of the ways that you're most likely to change somebody's behaviour. And what we find with the mobile phone enforcement programs is that they are very well regarded by the public. They actually have very widespread public support across the jurisdictions we enforce in. We typically see in the 80% positive support for automated enforcement of mobile phone use. And seatbelt enforcement, again, 99% of people in Australia or the UK are wearing a seatbelt. So they don't understand the problem. It's only the 1% who can really, who are not wearing it, that can sort of generate complaints effectively. The area that still needs work from public acceptance is speeding. There is still this perception in a number of countries that it is okay to speed, but every 1% increase in speed is a 4% increase in crash risk, and you just keep compounding that. And so if you can get them ready to drive a bit slower, you will absolutely reduce deaths and injuries.
So you can look at yourself in the mirror every day, Alex, and think, I'm making a difference here, and be proud of yourself. Congratulations on your award 2 years ago, your growth into Europe in the last 2 years, and looking forward to you getting all of the Fatal Five within 2 years, and we can talk about it then.
Be great. Thank you very much.
To you, thanks to Suaco and AGD Systems. This is Highways Voices from Intertraffic Amsterdam 2024.
Exhibitor Smart Micro has developed a number of new products and made a significant acquisition since the last Intertraffic. CEO Ralph Mende explained what it means for road authorities and travellers across the continent.
What did we bring here to Amsterdam this year? We brought new sensors, we brought new technology, we brought new software, and we did that for all of the main three applications that we're working on, which is for the intersection detection for highways and for enforcement products. So, for example, we have a brand new sensor which has much better detection quality, longer range, wider field of view, lower power consumption, and this sensor will help us to improve the quality of the data which we are measuring. Further, we brought a new edge device which is our Com Hub. This device is used at intersections, and it would combine the data of all the radar sensors that we deploy at one intersection, and it would do a sensor fusion of those multiple radars, multi-radar fusion, and this significantly improves the quality of the detection at intersections. So this is a nice piece of new technology that we have been developing in the past 2 years since last Intertraffic, and we're bringing it now, and it will help us to detect especially the vulnerable road users much better at intersections, so we can see any pedestrian, any bicyclists, and of course the motorized traffic much better than before, and we have a seamless tracking.
How does it work?
It works such that no longer every sensor measures for itself and reports the detected traffic participants, the traffic objects, but now all the sensors deliver some raw data to this Com Hub edge device, and in the edge device the data are combined, they are fused, and we have implemented a seamless tracking. And that means for every car that is on the intersection, we have detections from at least 2-3 sensors, and it's very obvious that if you have more than one sensor seeing that car, you have much better quality to to detect it, to track it, and to see where it comes from, where it's going. So that is a significant improvement. And there's one other thing that we have been improving over time, and that is our user interface. So along with the new sensors and along with our new edge device, we have been developing a web UI front end, a web user interface, which is more intuitive and makes it easy for our customers to deploy such systems and to make the right configuration at the intersection. Also on highways. And no additional software needs to be installed. You would just log into that web interface and make the configuration. So.
Now, since we last spoke here at Intertraffic 2 years ago, you've had a major acquisition of Smart Video and Sensing in the UK. How's that going?
It's going very well. So we are more than happy that we went this step. The team from Smart Video and Sensing, that was the former name, was acquired by Smart Micro less than a year ago and is now Smart Micro UK, and we have a much closer, much better cooperation now with this very committed, very motivated team. And it turned out also to be very efficient, very successful. We can see that together with a team from Smart Micro UK, now Smart Micro UK, we are winning more and more cities, municipalities, highway and tunnel installations throughout the UK. So this company is growing, our market share is growing, and we are on the right way to become the market leader here. Yes. So it turned out to be a great success. Yes.
Well, let's bring in the man who actually owns Smart Video and Sensing and has stayed on with the company to lead the Smart Micro UK team. It's industry stalwart, legend, grandee, possibly we could call him, Peter Eccleston. Hi, Peter. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well, Paul. Good to see you.
And so how has it gone since the acquisition, and what's it meant for the business and for actual road safety and road monitoring across the UK?
Phenomenal, in a word, Paul. We've seen our growth just take off. We're adding new customers all the time. One of the latest customers is City of Glasgow. We've just done a huge installation down at Marsh Mills Roundabout in Plymouth. 10 radars on that roundabout, proving not only can the radars operate in such a large and challenging situation, but there's no conflict of frequency with our radars. They're all working perfectly well. We're getting a lot more support from consultants. Our radars are being actively promoted into our customer base, and the fact that they're multi-lane and the fact that they can collect data as well is very, very important. And we've got our new Smart Micro Cloud back office, which allows the users to see the data that's being collected by the radar. So speed, gap, headway, counts, average speed, spot speed, wrong way vehicles, you name it, we can measure it.
And what does this mean for the travelling public?
Data collection is important. It allows planners to plan their junctions better, obviously. Queue monitoring, etc., is also a very, very useful tool for the local authorities, again allowing them to reduce queuing traffic at traffic lights, allowing a smoother flow of traffic at signalised intersections.
Peter, really good to see you again. Congrats on all the contract wins across the UK. We'll keep reporting it on Highways News, and thanks for talking to us on Highways Voices.
And thanks to Highways News. Thank you very much.
So although Smart Micro is not a new name as you heard, it's come together with Smart Video and Sensing since the last Intertraffic. While since the last event, we've also seen the birth of Yamovity, a partnering of Econolite from the US and the well-known PTV Group, which does transport modelling. Which says that by better combining hardware, software and now modelling, intersections can become safer and more efficient, as VP Engineering Sunny Chakravarti explains.
Well, the presentation that I had was about intersection safety in particular, and as it pertains to this thing called dilemma zones. So I took the time to explain what a dilemma zone is and how you could mitigate dilemma zones very well with advanced technology, which we have our hands on nowadays. there are some traditional approaches and they sort of work, but you know, we can do a much better job with the technology that's available today. And our company, Econolite, which is part of Umovity now, has a lot of these technologies which are really, really good and very helpful in coming up with ways to mitigate things like the dilemma zone issues and so forth.
Now, I have been to Econolite's old HQ in Anaheim, just on the southern edge of Los Angeles, and I see it as a signals, a controller company. Go into a bit more detail about what a dilemma zone is and explain to me what kit you have that can actually help.
Okay, wonderful. It's a very broad question, so I'm probably going to talk about a few things here. Econolite, we call Econolite a one-stop shop for traffic management. So we do traffic cabinets, we have traffic signal controllers, like you talked about. We have different kinds of sensors. It could be video sensors or radar sensors or sensors based on magnetometers or micro radars. Finally, we also have ATMS, which is central systems, and I talked about that as well as part of my presentation. With all of these technologies, so we have the hardware and software, with all of these technologies, it's possible to mitigate things like the dilemma zones. The other development that I want to talk about is that about 2 years ago, a little more than 2 years ago, Econolite joined forces with a Germany-based company called PTV Group. And PTV Group is a market leader in modeling and simulation software. So before, with just Econolite, we had the operational technology, the ones that traffic equipment that run the intersections or help run intersections in terms of traffic software. But we also now have access to the simulation tools that PTV brings to the mix. So between these two great companies, which are giants in their own fields, we have a unified brand called Umovity. So under Umovity and this banner, we have hardware, we have software, and we have professional services that we provide as well to deploy these brilliant pieces of hardware and software for making mobility safer.
That was going to be my next question, was about where PTV comes in with Umovity, because I guess you've got the data now that you're able to gather from the range of sensors you've got. PTV can put all that intelligence into, or all that data into its intelligence on modeling, and then you've got the kit to be able to actually potentially change signal timing and stop traffic jams happening. And so actually a traffic jam doesn't happen because you've had the ability to foresee it and mitigate before it appears.
Absolutely, absolutely. PTV brings to us that amount of predictive things and modeling things. And we on the Econolite side bring the actual equipment that make the changes or help make those changes based on the information that's coming to us either from PTV software or Econolite's own software. So the marriage has been very good from that perspective. They're very complementary to each other. And you know, together, we are bigger than each company that was there, you know, Econolite by itself and PTV Group by itself. Together in Umovity, we are bigger than the sum. That's what my understanding or my impression is.
And I know Econolite in the US. I see them at congresses when I'm in the US, and I know Econolite in the Middle East. But actually, kind of there's been this gap in Europe. What does the PTV relationship with a company that is across the whole of Europe, what does that bring as business opportunities for Econolite and its hardware?
Very good question, very good question. It provides a lot of synergistic things for both sides to develop. Econolite, as you very rightly mentioned, we've had a very North America-based focus. Other than North America, we always sold our products to the Caribbean and some parts of the Middle East. PTV has a much more global presence, especially in Europe and Asia. So what we are trying to do is that we are trying to leverage the presence of each company. So PTV for Europe and Asia, and Econolite being so strong in North America, to boost each other's products and sales and so forth.
Looking at the Umovity stand, the thing that really leapt out at me that I thought was a great solution was the Evo radar.
Evo radar is what we call best-in-class radar detection for the traffic intersection. It's worked beautifully in North America, which is our staple for Econolite. Now we're looking for new markets for that product, for that brilliant product, in Europe and Asia. And might I add that there's a lot of interest there from both European and Asian clients. Just between yesterday and today, in our booth where you saw the radar sensor being displayed, I have had lots of questions and inquiries about the features of that platform, as well as a lot of interest in terms of bringing that product, doing trials, and possibly using that product in European and Asian traffic agencies. So that's a prime example of Econolite's hardware finding new markets, which we didn't approach before, but now are.
And I guess if you've got that data that is being gathered by the radar, you've got a PTV solution, Optima, for example, that is looking and predicting the traffic in near term, you put that data, you've immediately got another really good data source for Optima to use to then help plan future traffic mitigation.
That's absolutely correct. And that's actually something that is in motion right now. We are working on integrating the inputs from the Evo radar into our Optima and Flows products. So in the coming months, you will see some of these features going out to our customer base.
From Intertraffic Amsterdam 2024, Highways Voices.
You're listening to a Highways Voices podcast with more content from Intertraffic 2024, thanks to the support of SWARCO and AGD Systems. Now let's finish by talking artificial intelligence. It was the real buzz phrase, if that's such a thing, of Intertraffic. And with AI talked about by so many companies across the event, McKinsey's expert on the subject, Alberto Cooley, cuts through the hype.
I believe that AI is not just a buzzword, but it's becoming an opportunity for road operators, in particular to enhance operations and maintenance. How AI can bring savings in order to manage more cost-effectively roads infrastructure, but also can increase the safety and can also create opportunities to better predict the maintenance and in order to create a more resilient infrastructure.
So it sounds like a brilliant solution, and every road operator should be thinking, where do I sign? How do I get this? But from the theory to the reality, there must be several hurdles to go over.
Absolutely. So it's not so easy. It's not something that tomorrow will happen immediately as a magic wand. It requires effort, it requires technologies, so hardware, but also capabilities, because so AI can be implemented by people with new capabilities that sometimes are not the more traditional ones. But it's very important to start from the capabilities, from the resources, and from the right technologies to build what can bring tangible impact to the road operators.
And can you give any sort of actual examples of where AI has made a real difference?
Absolutely.
In traffic management?
Yeah, in particular, I would say for predictive maintenance and for infrastructure health, because predictive algorithms powered by AI can help road operators in properly manage the interventions that have to be done on galleries, bridges, on tunnels in order to save money, time, and increase the safety level of the infrastructure. That's very important.
And so how do we actually get there? What technology do we need to then use AI to enhance?
We need sensors, of course, and we need an AI platform able to collect data and provide insights through, of course, the algorithms in order to prioritize intervention and to better prepare then the different maintenance activities that you have to do on the tunnels, roads, and different infrastructures.
Now, if you talk to the man in the street about AI, they will think ChatGPT. And the thing about ChatGPT is it's a very useful tool if you know the subject, but the problem can be that if you ask it to write something that you don't really know about, it's very, very plausible, but actually can be completely wrong or in effect made up. If you're using AI in the road sector, do you still need a vast amount of expertise and understanding in order to
Absolutely.
Use it as a tool to help you?
Indeed, yes. I say that technology is crucial, but also capabilities are crucial, because you have to have the right people to manage the algorithms and to deal with that, because otherwise it could be risky and useless.
That's AI expert Alberto Cooley from McKinsey there. And on the same theme, Unext Traffic hosted a panel session at Intertraffic Amsterdam looking at AI, the cloud and mobility and how new technologies and computing could affect our industry. CEO John Newhard reflects on what was discussed.
So it's basically a couple of things. So one is really the vision of where are we going pragmatically as an industry over the course of the let's call it the next decade or so. So that's, to me, that's not, and again, this is one of the things that came out in the discussion. It wasn't just, hey, we can throw a bunch of technology buzzwords at the problem, but we talk about pragmatically, how do we go ahead and go, you know, not just from a tech stack perspective, but from a policy perspective, from a procurement perspective, for the future. And so some of the great conversations we had, just because, and I always appreciate innovative customer perspectives, is talking about, you know, do we buy, in the, you know, we currently buy assets. I buy this controller, I buy those signs, whatever. Can we start buying outcomes? And I think one of the great things that the city of Graz pointed out was, you know, our customers don't care about the assets. They actually don't care about the technology either. They care about the outcomes. I get the nasty phone calls or emails or whatever when there's a delay that my citizens didn't know about. So if I can go buy outcomes, that's the most responsible way of spending the citizens' money. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think you often find when you come to an event like this, people are showing off, especially smaller companies, almost a solution in search of a problem.
Yes, exactly.
I guess when you've got so many solutions in a business, then you've got the solutions ready for the problem when your customer comes to you with that problem.
Generally, if you do it right, but the key, frankly, I think the key piece is having the right conversation. Like, A, having the right customer, and then having the right conversations. Because if for some reason you don't have the solution, or if you've got, you know, 87.5% of the solution, you're looking for the rest of it, then the rest of it can be, hey, we know who to go partner with, because we've done this before. Or we know we can go develop that remaining amount with our customer, because we've had those, we've gone through that practice of customer-led development before, and we can go ahead and close that gap and solve the problem.
Over the years, Intertraffic and other big events like this, there's always something that's the buzzword of the year. So, you know, you look back and one year it would have been everyone was talking about autonomy and driverless vehicles. Another would be mobility as a service. Everyone had an offering on that one year. Active travel 2 years ago was what was being talked about. Here, it's what was in the title of your session, AI. Yeah. Everyone's got an AI solution. But when you actually sometimes look under the hood, you find that it's not really very AI at all. Where do you think AI is taking our industry?
I think you're right. There's this hype cycle, and we're probably at the annoying part of the hype cycle for AI, so sorry about that. If you're going to apply, and full disclosure, before I came to Unix, I was running an AI company, right? And so when I think about the ITS industry, we shouldn't be, you know, we're not innovators of AI. We should be people that have domain expertise, that know how to apply AI to real customer problems for solutions. It's one of the themes of our panel. And, you know, to do that effectively means we're domain experts, right? What that really means is, you know, we've got customers that are interested in solutions that could be that are or could be AI enabled. And then the third piece of it is we have the requisite training data. So if you give a good algorithm bad data, it's the garbage in, garbage out problem. If you give a good algorithm good data, then you'll have a tendency to have good solutions. And so we can get all wrapped around the buzzwords and whatever else. I would rather actually solve a good problem than have whiz-bangy technology that doesn't do anything. So hopefully, you know, if I do my job correctly and my teammates do their job correctly, we're doing the latter.
I guess one of my questions is, you as a CEO, you've got your vision that we talked about. You've got a real idea of what you could do, but do we as an industry have a problem that, can we get the people to actually write the code? Can we get the people to actually produce it? Because we're competing. The more we go into a software solutions business, we're competing with fintech. We're competing with so many other industries.
So I think, and this is the thing is like, we're not going to compete with OpenAI for for AI talent. That just and by the way, like I don't even think generative AI is the right AI to apply to this industry. There's some use cases, but it's not really the important pieces. The important pieces are taking the innovative technology and applying it. And I do think we can find the talent for that. I think the other piece of it is there is, look, you see the gray hair, I'm generations younger than me, an understanding of like, no, this really is about livable cities, this really is about greenery, and we care. And there's a generation motivated by, you know, trying to do the right thing with sustainable cities. So I do think we can go ahead and find the talent. And if we marry it with the domain expertise and the right customers, hopefully we get good solutions.
And the session was called Unlock Tomorrow, AI, Cloud, and Mobility, yeah. Fad or Fundamental Shift.
Yeah.
So what is it, fad or fundamental shift?
Oh, a little bit of both, of course. So, like, I think, again, I think, look, we're in the AI hype cycle. I don't want to be full of caca. But there is real use cases here, and there is real applicable technology. And again, it's not necessarily generative AI. I think there's other types of AI that are really useful, and cloud, right? And computer vision. And when you start bringing those together in a solution set, I think we can actually be helpful.
So Unix Traffic CEO John Newhard chatting with me there about AI and mobility. And that'll do for this Intertraffic Highways Voices special, as we gathered so much knowledge from the week. And I still have more tucked away, believe it or not, and I'll keep for a rainy day for you. But for now, thanks for listening. Thanks to Suaco and AGD Systems for their support. And we'll chat again next week on Highways Voices as we get back to normal with Adrian's accolade and our partner news and all our usual features. Join me then.
Highways Voices. Join us again next week for more insights from those that matter in the industry.